Kina Tezayin is one of the famous kinos and among the more powerful and even graphic ones, at least in the story that it describes. Stylistically, it is focusing on the evil acts of Titus, of Titus HaRasha. The first and third line of every quartet, of every stanza, begin with the first word of the psukim in Perek Hey of Eicha. Zochor es asher asad tzar bifnim, nachasenu bi'eis, yesomim gi'el, mimenu dalach, etc. And the second words of those lines are in the Aleph Beis. So it's really quite a brilliant composition. So you have Zochor S, right? You have the Aleph, but then you also have Nachalasenu Bi'es, the Beis, Somim Gi'el, Meimenu Dalach. So if you're into that kind of thing, this is quite an impressive literary achievement. And in terms of the substance that this beautiful poetry is describing, so as we mentioned in previous years, the Kina is basically a composition or made up of stories that are described in three different midrashim. The Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, that describes Titus and bringing a prostitute into the Beis HaMikdash. Eicha Rabbah, which describes the phenomenon of the Kotel HaMa'aravi, keeping the Shechina, even though the generals were commanded to destroy all four walls, they only destroyed three of them, and the eternal bond and the fact that the Shechina will lozaza from the Kotel, that is also referenced. And then we also have the powerful Medrash, which is both in the Gemara and Gittin and in the Eicha Rabbah, and that is one which we tend to focus on year after year. To me, it always grabs me, and that is the story of the boats of the three children. The first story begins right in the opening, Zochor es asher asar tzar bifnim. More than halfway down, you have the Al Pesach Har Habayez Hechel Lavo, Al Arba Rashe Taf Sarav L'Hachrivo, that's the second medrash which we allude to. And then in the next stanza, towards the end of the Kina, you have Ata Katsafta the Hirshesa Lefanos Yeladim Asher'ein Behem Kol Me'um Misham L'Hipanos, the story of the three boatloads of children that were being sent into servitude in Rome, and not just any servitude, as the Midrashim and the Gemara make clear, they were going to be, you'll forgive me, sex slaves of the Roman emperors and noblemen, and that life of immorality and degradation was just too much for the children to bear. And as the Kina describes in the next stanza, Hashivenu, Shivu, Kivau, Benivcheyam, Mishitfu Atzvam Yacha, Linpol Bayam, they decided as a group to jump into the waters, to jump to their deaths. Shirvis, Ushbachos, Shoru, Kaal Yam, Kialacha, Haragnu, Bimitsulos Yam. The L'shem Shamayim, they jumped to their deaths rather than being taken to Rome for their terrible life of immorality and degradation. And in the Midrashim, even more so than in the Kina, we have the powerful words of Hashem coming to comfort them and promise them that they're not doing anything wrong, and that when the time comes, they will also be, they have not forfeited their Olam Haba, that Hashem can even go b'metzulos yam, Hashem can even go to the depths of the sea to bring them back. And in previous years, we actually spent quite a bit of time looking at some of the Gemara, particularly, or the Medrash, and even some of the differences between them, that discussed this particular dimension of the Kina and of the tragedy of the Chorban. Thinking back on some of the events of the last few months, and there have been some very tragic events in which children have been tragically taken from their families, their lives snuffed out in the most sudden and tragic of forms. To me, at least this year, that is what speaks to me about that Kina. I went back and I looked. Of all of the people who died in Meiron this year, a little over a third were children or young teenagers. Just a catastrophic and overwhelming loss. Many of us in this room may be even still from America. Certainly most of us Olim from America. many of the people in the room are of yeshiva age or kollel age or work in yeshivas. And therefore, I think for obvious and appropriate reasons, many of us were particularly connected to the loss, to the story of Donnie Morris, Alav HaShalom. In fact, I just saw his parents. They were here just a week or so ago for the Hakamas HaMatzeva. I actually was on the plane with them. I saw them also in Israel. And like many people probably in this room, I also had this chus. I was at the funeral. It took place in Shalavim. And it's not something that I will ever forget, the intensity and the pain and the intensity and the pain in the crowd. I don't know how many thousand people were there exactly, but it was a huge sea of 19 and 20-year-olds. And I was right in the middle of hundreds and hundreds of young men. And you probably know this, but young men don't often show their emotions. But there was unreserved and uncontrollable crying during that funeral. And I had a number of students who themselves had been high school classmates or friends of Donnie. And obviously they were the most affected, at least in my little circle. But really anybody I knew, certainly students, was tremendously affected by his loss and his sudden death and the tragedy that was a life of such potential that was snuffed out. Just had to read one article about him or see anything listen on the funeral at all, his incredible enthusiasm, his smile, his charisma, his dedication to Beram Lachavero, Kibud Horim of his parents, his desire to grow, to find inspiration. And it's something that many of us really connected to in a very tragic way. But he wasn't the only one. And there were actually many other children, including much younger than him, even, who died in Meron. I was very taken reading at the time about the story of Azi Koltai from Harnof, had just turned bar mitzvah, described by his friends and family as upbeat and friendly, enthusiastic. Family are Olim from Passaic. And the stories about him were also unbelievable. His chain, his personal charisma, how everyone, even the Arab workers, loved him nearby, his classmates, older men in shul. There's an unbelievable story about there was an older man in his shul. I guess they had to buy seats in his shul. The older man was kind of a curmudgeon, didn't want anyone ever to sit next to him. So he bought two seats, one to be empty next to him so no one would sit next to him. And there was one exception he made, and that was this Azi. He let that boy sit next to him because he had such chayin. He was also crushed to death in Meron. And perhaps, at least to me, there's no objective measure of any of these things, but to me, the most tragic story were the brothers El-Chadad. Two brothers who were killed together. Moshe 18 and Yosef 12. And some of you may have seen it. I hope I'm not mistaken. I think the father must be Breslov. Certainly has the amun of a Breslover. But the father was just unbelievable. He was interviewed, and there are clips of this online. You can't help but cry when you see this, when he was sitting Shiva. And he described how he actually had five sons there. And it wasn't just these two that were crushed. There was also another one, I think, who was also very close to, could have gotten really seriously hurt. But he talks there with great hakar satov, through his tears, how three were saved and two were killed. Hashem, I'm reading now, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to read in Hebrew in a second. Hashem chose, he said, exactly which souls to take. And then he said, I told Hashem that entire night, I felt such despair. I need, bikashti kol alayla she'iti b'choser onim. Amarti ribona shel olam, ani mevakesh davar echad. Now imagine, this is on the night of Lag BaOmer. He has five children missing, unaccounted for. Eventually finds out that three have survived and two of them are crushed with each other, on top of each other, crushed to death. Ani mevakesh davar echad. Al tikach li esa emuna. Please, Hashem, don't take away emuna. Ata emuna, al tikach li. Tein li emuna. Ani tzarich kochot. Tein li emuna. This, he says, ze ma shabachiti kol halayla. This, he's sitting through tears at the Shiva house, describing the unimaginable pain of a father to suddenly lose two children like that. And the thing he's grabbing hold of, the thing he's holding on to, I need my emunah. Baruch Hashem, he concluded, Lo lakach mimeni ha'amuna. I still have that. And through my own tears, and through the pain of listening and looking at a father going through such Gehenim and such grief, to me there was an eerie reminiscence of the Amunah of these three boatloads of children. They didn't jump out of despair. They jumped out of Amunah. Right? Which is just, it's an unbelievable madrega for any of us even to imagine. To give yourself over to Hashem in that dramatic way. But I see in many ways the commitment and even sacrifice of Meir El-Chadad, the father, is no less impressive. To be davening for one thing, the Amunah, on that night, and to be able to say with confidence, Lo lakach mimeni ha'amunah. He is also jumping, also making a sacrifice, and not out of despair, despite the enormous pain that he's carrying, but out of Amunah. We pray that Hashem should not only watch over the neshamos of all those who died so tragically, but just as importantly, give a measure of nechama and chizuk to these families and all of the families who lost not only children, but any loved one, that and all the other tragedies last year. All of this is part of the churban of Tisha B'Av, as we say, and we have said in other years, Ali Yiddish Tzaris Zen in Ein Grais Tzara. All of the tragedies are all the same one big tzara. It's all churban, and it all goes back to Tisha B'Av. Zohar Sasher Sasar Bifnim Shalach Arba.